Welcome to God Cares for You, a series of radio broadcasts featuring Pastor Rory Clark of Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. Pastor Rory teaches the truth of the Word of God in a simple and understandable way that is easy to apply to your everyday life. Here's Pastor Rory Clark.
It's really funny to me how a person can be a Christian for 50 years, yet not understand one thing about the Lord Jesus Christ, nor one thing about what it really means to be a Christian. In fact, that was my experience until I started studying Paul's letter to the Romans in the New Testament. Most of the time I have spent studying Romans, I've spent in complete shock. In shock about how ignorant I was about what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing with his creatures. In shock about how clear the Lord is. In shock about how simple his ways are. And in shock about how easy the Lord is to understand. You've probably heard someone say the Lord works in mysterious ways. No, he doesn't work in mysterious ways. The Lord works in easy to understand and very predictable ways. So don't settle for that lie. I hope to do the Lord's work some justice as I pass along his messages to you in this series of lessons on Paul's letter to the Romans. My name is Rory Clark, and I'm the pastor of Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. This series of radio programs is an invitation. First, we want to invite you to worship with us, either as part of our resident congregation, where you come in person to worship with us every week, or as a member of our non-resident congregation who worship with us through the magic of the internet and the magic of radio. Second, we want to invite you to support us with your spiritual gift. Each believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has a spiritual gift, and the Lord wants us to use the gift to serve others. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 say this, "And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ." Each believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has a spiritual gift that can be used to build up the body of Christ. Are you using yours? Finally, we want to invite you to support us with your financial gifts. Everything provided by Barah Ministries is provided free of charge to the recipients, but it is not free of cost. So we hope that if you find what we provide for your spiritual life to be valuable, that you are motivated to contribute financial gifts that help us to continue to provide biblical resources to others who can't afford them. As you give to us, we're able to pass the gifts along to the communities we serve. And we appreciate you, and we are grateful for your help. I think it's important to make the requests of our invitation clear to you, just as we have made them clear to God in prayer. So as we labor in Christ's name, we appreciate it if you support us with your presence, if you support us with your spiritual gift, and if you support us with your free will financial gifts. We labor for a single purpose, to preach Christ and all the wonder of his sacrificial and unconditional love for every one of his creatures, which included the perfect and satisfactory payment for the sins of all creatures at the cross. So if you're looking for a spiritual home, we hope you'll consider Barah Ministries. Our website is www.barahministries.com. That's www.barahministries.com. Today's lesson, Paul has good news for you. In our last lesson, we studied Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. In those verses, we introduced Paul's letter to the believers at first century Rome, but we also introduced the idea that God has good news for you. The good news is a gospel message that details how you can be saved. What is the gospel message? The gospel is the good news concerning the sacrifice the Lord Jesus Christ made at the cross for all of his creatures, providing a way for them to be saved. Three verses capture the essence of the gospel message. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to doubting Thomas, I am the way to salvation. I am the truth through the word of God. I am the eternal life, the resurrection life. And no one comes to God the Father but through believing in me. John chapter 3, verse 36, the Lord Jesus Christ says, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, the resurrection life. But he who does not obey the command to believe in the Son will not see eternal life, but instead the wrath of God the Father, the lake of fire, abides on him. Perhaps a story from the book of Luke would illustrate better the good news concerning God's attitude toward you. Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. Now all the tax collectors and the sinners, which is a prostitute, were coming near Jesus to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, this man receives prostitutes and eats with them. Luke 15:3. So Jesus told them this parable, saying, what man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Luke 15:6. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Luke 15:7. I'll tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, and that's a sinner who changes his mind about having a relationship with Christ, than over 99 righteous persons, believers in Christ, who need no repentance. That's what I love about my God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He walks his talk. He didn't hang out with the beautiful people. He hung out with the people who were considered by the beautiful people to be the most despicable people in Jewish society at the time. Prostitutes and tax collectors. And honestly, I believe prostitutes ranked a little higher on the scale, on the rung, than tax collectors did. Those were people who were lost. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is always looking for the ones who are lost. And that's really good news for you, especially if you're lost, especially if you're an unbeliever. But there's more good news. Paul has good news for you too. Paul not only has the good news of the gospel message, Paul has good news in the matter of your imperfection. Are you imperfect? What is God's attitude toward imperfect creatures? If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I asked you, are you a sinner? You'd probably say yes. You think of yourself as a sinner because you commit personal sins. Well, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are no longer a sinner. Sorry to disappoint you. You're not a sinner as a believer in Christ, you're a saint. The term sinner is always a reference to a person who does not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is never a reference to those who are believers in Christ. For example, Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, God the Father demonstrates his own unconditional love toward all mankind in that while we were yet sinners, while we were ungodly, unrighteous, unbelievers, Christ died as a substitute for us. Romans chapter 1, verse 7 makes it very clear that all believers in Christ are saints by the invitation of God. The invitation of God in the Bible is referred to as the calling of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 7. And this letter is written to all of you who are the beloved, the divinely loved ones of God the Father, you believers in Christ living in Rome, saints by the calling of God, as holy and set apart ones. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So God's attitude toward you believers in Christ, even though you still commit personal sins, even though you are quite imperfect, is that he sees you believers in Christ as saints. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 say this, "My little children, I, John, am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins," and of course all believers do, "we have an advocate with God the Father, Jesus Christ, the only righteous one," 1 John 2:2, "and the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins as believers in Christ only, but also for those sins of the whole world, unbelievers as well." Propitiation. I love that word. That means that the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, shedding his blood for us, is the only perfectly satisfactory payment for your sins in the eyes of God the Father. You cannot save yourself. You cannot purge your sins yourself. Now, whether you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ or an unbeliever, God has good news for you, and Paul has good news for you too. Paul describes himself, and accurately so, as the worst person of all time. Isn't it great that the Lord Jesus Christ selected one of his greatest enemies to preach the good news of the gospel message to the Gentiles? Since you will never be as bad as Paul, that's good news for you too. That's what I find so amazing about my God. If you're an atheist, if you don't believe that there is a God, God loves you unconditionally. I wouldn't do that. If you're agnostic, if you don't believe God or his truths can truly be known, God loves you unconditionally. If you're religious, over-focused on your sins and your works, God loves you unconditionally. If you are legalistic, over-focused on the law, God loves you unconditionally. If you're a tax collector, God loves you unconditionally. If you're a prostitute, God loves you unconditionally. If you're a drug addict, an alcoholic, or a pastor, and of course we have to include ourselves among the most despicable, because God always puts the most despicable people up front, God loves you unconditionally. No matter who you are, no matter what your previous condition of servitude, God loves you unconditionally. We have an amazing God on our hands. So today we'll be studying Romans chapter 1 verses 8 to 15, which reads this way. And remember, Paul is talking to the saints, the believers in Christ at Rome in the first century. First, I, Paul, thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers making request, if perhaps now at least by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. Romans 1:13, I did not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I have planned to come to you and have been prevented so far, so that I may obtain some fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. The focus of this second section of the first chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans is really Paul communicating his feelings of affection for the saints at Rome. And since the attention of this part of the first chapter turns to Paul, I think it is important for you to know who Paul is. Here is Paul describing himself in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 10. Now I, Paul, make known to you, brethren, believers in Christ, the gospel message, which I preached to you, which also you received, that means you believed in which gospel message also you stand. by which gospel message also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I, Paul, delivered to you as of first importance what gospel message I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised, that is, resurrected from the dead, on the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, the Apostle Peter, then to the 12, the apostles minus Judas Iscariot. 1 Corinthians 15:6. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren. Brethren is a reference to believers in Christ. He appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain physically alive until now, but some have fallen asleep. Some have died physically. Then he appeared to James, his half-brother, then to all the apostles, that is, all who had the spiritual gift of apostle. 1 Corinthians 15:8. And last of all, as to one untimely born, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to me also. 1 Corinthians 15:9. For I, Paul, am the least of the apostles, and I am not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Paul accurately described himself as the worst person of all time. As the most imperfect human being ever, Paul was sent to us by God to preach the most important message ever, the gospel message. A message about what God was willing to do for imperfect and fallen creatures. God chose his greatest enemy, Paul, to become his greatest apostle and his greatest messenger. What a phenomenal attitude our God has toward the weak. He showed us through his selection of Paul what he is willing to do with each imperfect life. You may not see it, but God has a perfect plan for your imperfect life. You may see that he has that plan and not at all understand it. But God has a plan for you, a real, deep, intimate, and personal plan for his relationship with you. Now let's look at Romans chapter 1, verses 8 to 15 in detail. Here's Romans 1, 8. First, I, Paul, thank my God the Father in prayer through Jesus Christ's name for all of you believers in Rome, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world, which at that time was the entire Roman Empire. In spite of the persecution of the government in the first century against Christians, persecution that included throwing Christians to the lions in the Roman Colosseum and letting people see them being ripped to shreds by lions, the gospel message was being spread by these brave Christians throughout the whole world. I'll tell you what, if you were a Christian, there were two places that you did not want to be in the first century, Rome and Jerusalem. Few good things happened for Christians in those two cities. Romans 1:9, for God the Father, whom I, Paul, serve in my human spirit by the preaching of the gospel of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you believers in Rome in intercessory prayer. Paul was always praying for the persecuted believers at Rome. Romans 1:10, I am always in my prayers making requests for you, even making petitions for myself as well, if perhaps now at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. Paul, in spite of the dangers, wanted to visit Rome to be with the believers there. What, was he nuts? Probably. Or maybe he just had faith in Christ to protect him. Romans 1:11, for I, Paul, long to see you believers in Rome so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established. That is, that I, Paul, may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us being encouraged by the other's faith. Both your faith encouraging me and my faith encouraging you. Paul wanted to be with them to encourage them face to face, and he wanted to be encouraged by them as well. Romans 1:13. I did not want you to be unaware, brethren, you believers in Rome, that often I have planned to come to you and have been prevented by God so far. I want to come so that I may obtain some fruit among you also, even as I obtain fruit among the rest of the Gentiles. God was brilliant not to let Paul go to Rome. It kept him alive. I think when he finally did go, he got thrown in jail. Romans 1:14, I am under obligation both to people who speak Greek and to barbarians, people who don't speak Greek, both to the wise who are believers in Christ and to the foolish who are unbelievers. People who didn't speak Greek were called barbarians because the joke was that when they talked, they sounded like this to Greek speakers, bar, 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 bar. And so non-Greek speakers were called in Greek the barbaros, the barbaros. Romans 1:15. So for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel as a minister to you also who are in Rome. Paul wanted to be with the Roman believers. And when he was there, of course, he would engage in his passion and in his calling, the spreading of the good news of the gospel message. Here's a song written and sung by Barah Ministries song worship leader June Murphy. It's the gospel message, a song called Whosoever.
Our God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever will believe eternal victory is already won. The Lord Jesus went to the cross. Yes, he did, dying voluntarily. And he says, no one comes to the Father but by believing in me. Come taste and see, salvation's free if in Christ you believe. So all men can be saved. It's a choice you have to make. No mistake. Salvation's road is paved. The Lord Jesus died for you. Yes, it's true. On a cross, it's plain to see. And he says, one comes to the Father but by believing in me. Come taste and see, salvation's free if in Christ you believe. For whosoever believes in him, he pays the price. Whosoever believes in him, he offers life. Whosoever believes.
The gospel message tells you how to be saved. Acts chapter 16, verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes. Paul has good news for you. You don't have to be perfect to be saved. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 to 27, we learn that the worst sinner of all time, Paul, had one of the most important jobs in divine history. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25, of this church I, Paul, was made a minister by God, according to the stewardship from God the Father, bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is, the preaching about the mystery, which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but now has been manifested, which means made clearly visible to his saints, all believers in Christ. Colossians 1:27, to whom God the Father willed to make known what is the glorious riches of this mystery that I'm talking about among the Gentiles, the mystery of Christ indwelling all of you believers, the hope, the absolute confidence of your future glory. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 to 10 describe Paul's ministry this way. To me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, Ephesians 3, 9, and to bring to light what is the dispensation of the mystery, the church age, which for ages has been hidden in the God who created the all things, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that the manifold wisdom of God the Father might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. Paul has a life ministry. You have a life ministry. Do you know what your life ministry is? The good news for you is that if you're a tax collector or a prostitute or any other despicable person, that God cares for you. He is looking for you if you are lost, and he will find you, so that if you want to, you can be saved. He'll make clear to you what he wants you to do with your life. And don't worry, your will is factored in. He wants you to do what you want to do. This radio show is an invitation for you to join us for biblical study if you want to get to know God and his word. Our aim at Barah Ministries is to represent accurately the person, the thinking, the work, the reputation, and the essence of the supreme being of the universe, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that you can get to know him. Jesus Christ is God, and he cares for you. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Pastor Rory Clark of Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church in Mesa, Arizona. Pastor Rory teaches face-to-face lessons twice a week. For more information, especially on meeting locations, go to the Barah Ministries website at barahministries.com. That's B-A-R-A-H ministries.com. The God Cares For You radio broadcast can be heard every Sunday from 12 to 12:30 right here on KXDG 1280 on your AM radio dial.